So this is a thank you, thank you. Clinical cases, so we start with one. We're talking about ILD clearly here. Here is the medical history of this gentleman. He's a 64, he's a 60-year-old lady, smoker, with no exposure either at home or at work. She has one treatment for systemic hypertension. And in October 2009, she developed a syndrome characterized by dry cough and dyspnea on exertion, which is very nonspecific, for about 6 months. There are no other symptoms, systemic. She got lung function test, and the lung function showed normal volumes, slightly reduced the LCO, 67% of predicted. At that point, we took a chest X-ray. Of course, there is an expert radiologist here, so I will not take the liberty of getting into troubles for that. We get the anterior-anterior, posterior-anterior view and the lateral view. And based on this chest X-ray, we also had a high-resolution CT scan, more or less at the same time, just a few days afterwards. I will go through the high-resolution CT scan relatively quickly in order to give you an idea of the overall pattern of the patient. Okay, I think I'm not going to make any consideration here. It seems quite, it's fitting into one of the categories that we have seen before. I think we can all agree about the nodules pattern. Central labrum, maybe there is also some interstitial lung disease, additional, maybe some traction bronchiectasis. And again, keep it there and keep in mind the pattern. We have a blood testing. Blood test showed mild leukopenia. We get a QuantiFERON TB test that we're doing basically in every patient that we see, as I told you, which was negative in this case. ESR slightly elevated, CRP normal. ACE was 62. Rheumatoid factor 16, CPK normal. ANA was positive. Okay, fine. ANA was positive at these levels, so relatively high level of ANA positivity. ENA was also positive in this patient. SSARO positive, SSSBLA positive. So this was the pattern of autoimmunity in this lady. CANCA and PANCA negative. We also had 24 hours urinary calcium and calcemia. They were both normal. And lastly, the urinary test was positive for red blood cells and double positive for white blood cells. Now, with this pattern of clinical and radiological and laboratory testing, which is most likely diagnosis in your opinion? So these are the options that you can vote on. The first one is lymphoma. Second one, organizing pneumonia. Third, Sjögren's syndrome. Fourth, sarcoidosis, and fifth, the very rare occasion that we have seen before of LAP. I think that maybe you can vote now on this first question. Okay, so it looks like the two most common diagnoses, Sjögren's syndrome and sarcoid, and very few of you are for the other. So I think it makes sense in terms of the clinical picture and of the laboratory test in particular. I'm not sure if the high-resolution CT pattern is really fitting with Sjögren. I will get, no, not really. So he's telling no. So it's, that was, The kidney injury is also not typical for the Sjögren. The kidney injury is typical for what? For something else. Paraneoplastic lymphoma. You voted for lymphoma. That's very clear. Now, so we don't have an agreement on the diagnosis, I think, at this stage. So is there anything else that you will do as a next step to diagnose this lady? Would you do a bronchoscopy? Would you do a 6-minute walking test? Would you do a PET CT scan? Would you do a surgical lung biopsy or none of the above because you think you already have the diagnosis and that's enough? If we can vote now on this question, all right. So no one is for the 6-minute walking test, which is reassuring. And 10% about you think you already have a diagnosis. And I would say that the majority of you will go for a PET CT scan, which is surprising to me, because I'm not sure that will help with the diagnosis, in fact. Will probably help you to know about the activity, metabolic activity of the disease. I'm not sure it will tell you that this disease is very active. And you had 30% for bronchoscopy and 26% for surgical lung biopsy. So quite a spread of different. We can discuss that later in discussion. But what we did move on for a bronchoscopy. We decided there was the test with the best cost effectiveness. And the bronchoscopy, we saw reduced caliber of the right upper lobe. There was a mucosal infiltration. The BAL was not remarkable. Transbronchial biopsy provided sarcoid-like non-necrotizing granulomatous inflammation. It was negative for fungal stain, acid fast bacilli, and was no evidence of neoplasm. So I think we can rule out here a neoplastic involvement. And at this stage, with this type of response from transbronchial biopsy, the only thing that we have, we need to think, is sarcoid or it is sarcoid. So the other option seems to be very, very limited. So at this stage, are you happy with this, what you get? So do you need to repeat the bronchoscopy because you think you're not happy with the results? Again, the six-minute walking test, I think, is not so popular. You want a PET CT scan now, because we want to assess the activity of the disease, or you move to the surgical lung biopsy, or you think, this lady has sarcoid, and that's enough for me. I will treat the lady, and that's. Can you vote for that? Okay. So again, the six-minute walking test is not getting... Maybe there was the right thing, but you don't want to repeat the bronchoscopy. You already have a transbronchial biopsy. You believe in the granuloma. You believe in the sarcoid pattern. Fine. So 40% are happy with the diagnosis of sarcoidosis. That's my understanding. However, 42%, they want a surgical lung biopsy. Is there anyone that want me to say, why would you like to have a surgical lung biopsy? Quickly. Who's voting? Who voted for the surgical lung biopsy? Okay, the sarcoid-like granuloma is not really providing you with a diagnosis of sarcoidosis. You can still find granuloma in other disease, many other disease, even in Sjögren syndrome. And plus, it's difficult basically to reconcile the serological pattern with the sarcoidosis, no? So you want, yes, you agree? That's fantastic. So what you do next? We do a surgical lung biopsy. Now the surgical lung biopsy in this lady, the lady was very fit, she was happy to have a surgical lung biopsy, or I think the surgeon was happy to have a surgical lung biopsy. And these are the results. There was a mediastinal lymph nodes, parietal pleura, we always take pleura, Gary, in our patients, which is very important. And three nodules, right upper lobe, right middle lobe, and right lower lobe. So the result was non-necrotizing granulomatous inflammation, pleural fibrosis in a sarcoid-like lymphangitic pattern. In the right lower lobe, there was also localized amyloidosis, so called amyloidoma. In this patient, at the same time, in the same line, we have a very clear-cut pattern of sarcoid. Very typical. Non-caseating granulomas with the T-cells, everything was looking like sarcoid. However, we also had a lot of amyloid deposit, which is typical of connective tissue disease, also typical of Sjögren, so it's typical of a different disorder. Then, we have a chronic bronchiolitis with giant cells. She was also a smoker. Plus, we have a pattern of chronic bronchiolitis, which was all the ground that threw the pattern. So we have these four patterns all together in a surgical lung biopsy. And now we have to decide on the diagnosis. So when you put together the imaging, the clinic, the laboratory test, and the results from the biopsy, which is your most likely diagnosis? Did you change your mind or not? The options are still lymphoma, organizing pneumonia, Sjögren, sarcoid, and LIP. If there is anyone with another diagnosis, please tell me and we will record your disagreement. Please vote. All right. So we have a relative majority. It's not the absolute majority. I'm sorry. So we don't have a clear vote here. It's a relative majority of 43% of you which is in favor of Sjögren syndrome. So you think that the granulomatous pattern is not explained by sarcoid, but is explained by the Sjögren's syndrome. So you believe in the serological testing. But there is a 23% of you which is really believed it is sarcoid. And then you have also someone for LAP, organizing pneumonia or lymphoma. But I would think that these two, if put together, they will form the majority. Now, what we did at this stage, we didn't know how to classify this patient. And we decided to send the tissue to an expert. And the expert that we choose in this case is Tom Colby at the Mayo Clinic, which is a very well-known expert in pathology of the lung. Now, his response was quite striking, I think, because he told us, I'm not sure that one diagnosis can explain all of the changes present. So basically, he was not able to get all of them together under one single umbrella. So we can have actually a patient with more than one disease at the same time. So his diagnosis was sarcoidosis and LIP. So the one of you that put LIP, I don't know who was. Now everyone will put LIP, and I know that. You were right, based on Tom Colby, which is lymphoid infiltrate along airways associated with amyloid in the setting of Sjögren's syndrome. So this patient, according to this pathologist, has Sjögren, and I think that the serological pattern was very clear to me, but also has a pattern of sarcoid and LIP in the lung. So if we put all together, now we have to tell to this patient that she has a very peculiar combination of what we think they are different diseases. Now, the patient come to us because has shortness of breath. So apart from explaining the complexity of the diagnosis, which was not easy, what you do? You start a steroid therapy, you start immunosuppression, you combine steroid and immunosuppression, you say, I'm not doing treatment, I'm just following you up, or you have any brilliant idea that we didn't have, please vote. Brilliant idea? Right. So you want to combine corticosteroids and immunosuppressors. So if the primary, I'm relatively surprised by the 0% for immunosuppression, because if you think that the main disease is Sjögren, then the treatment for Sjögren should include immunosuppressions. But 20% of you go only for steroids, 10% for the treatment. So we have an absolute majority here, steroids and immunosuppression. And this is exactly what we did. And we started prednisone, 50 milligrams a day for 4 weeks, then tapered down to a maintenance dose of 10 milligrams per day. And we also associated azathioprine, 150 milligrams per day together. So it was corticosteroids and immunosuppression together. And she got a relatively dramatic improvement in shortness of breath, and there was a little bit of change towards a positive of diffusion capacity. Now, for the happiness of the radiologist here, we have another high-resolution CT scan after treatment. And this is the radiological response to this treatment. You want to express an opinion? I think less nodules in general. So that's exactly what I say. I think less nodules, less inflammatory component, maybe a little bit more traction. And in particular, we were a little bit surprised by the fact that, I mean, I don't think we can call this really, but you see that in many of these scans, you see there is a lot of traction. So there is this traction was not present, and the traction is characterized also by a sentry, so it is around the bronchial, so it's sentry bronchial. So it looks like the sarcoid component, or maybe the Sjögren component, or the LAP component, yes, we have less nodules, but clearly is not completely improved, is not clear, and you still have this foci of pattern. And see, and here, these microcysts, I don't know if they will be leading to something like honeycombing in the future, but that's also possible. Now, the last follow-up that I have you, she is now still on long-term maintenance of prednisone, very low. The ESR that was 49 now is normal. The pattern, serological pattern, is exactly the same. So corticosteroids and immunosuppression didn't change the serological pattern, probably as expected. But she is not symptomatic anymore. So, and the symptoms and PFT, they both improved. So as a final consideration for this case, I think it's important that we need to think about the clinical presentation of our patient. And as long as the patient is happy with a relatively low dose of corticosteroids and immunosuppression combined, I think that's good. I'm not sure which was the driver for her symptoms. It was the Sjogren, it was the LAP component, it was the sarcoid. But in any case, as we know that there is no drug which is specifically approved for any of these diseases, the use of wide-spectrum immunosuppression and corticosteroid therapy, I think, was, in the end, the right choice to do. Thank you very much for your attention.
Professor Ricaldi, if you have some question, we have some 10 minutes for discussion.
Thank you, very nice case. It's obvious that it's not lymphoma anymore, but in these particular patients, these Sjogren severe patient, they might in their evolution present with lymphoma, so it's the patient to follow up.
Yes, and also if you speak to some pathologists, they think that LIP is a kind of borderline lymphoma, so it's part of a spectrum of disease which is clearly targeting lymphocytes. I mean, it's not a lymphoma, it's not a true lymphoma, but I think it was classified as a lymphoma some time ago, so that you were also right, basically.
Dr. Ricaldi, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
I'm here at the podium, actually.
At the podium, fine. It's easy.
Well, as a radiologist, I think it's not unreasonable to consider the initial radiological diagnosis in the context of sarcoidosis. The pattern really fits in with sarcoidosis.
Yes.
As we heard from the previous speaker, there the distribution, the nodularity and everything.
Absolutely, yeah.
Except, of course, there's always a differential diagnosis, and these individual nodules that appear to be more towards the apex are a little unusual in sarcoidosis. We didn't see any CT, any mediastinal window CTs to look for evidence of
lymph node
calcification, unfortunately happens in both amyloidosis and sarcoidosis, but it would help a little bit. So I guess, you know, radiologically, this is not a very clear picture. And if I were to put my money on one thing, it would be actually sarcoidosis, I think, because of the protean manifestation of sarcoid.
Yeah, I think this is possibly a patient with Sjogren syndrome and sarcoidosis, which they can go together, and LIP. Hmm. You know, at the end of this case, we can also ask ourselves how much is important to provide the patient with the specific clear diagnosis if the treatment is always the same. Because if we exclude lymphoma, for sarcoid, for Sjogren syndrome, basically, for LAP, the treatment is a combination of corticosteroids and immunosuppressors. So I think we were aggressive in this lady because we wanted to exclude any malignancy. That's why we took the surgical line biopsy. But I think I agree with you that probably even from the radiological pattern would have been possible, this is going to be a disease which is going to be treated with corticosteroids and immunosuppressor anyway.
Now we'll move to the second case
that will